If you have a copy of God's Word, we'll be in 2 Kings chapter number 5. I want to read just one verse this morning and see what God will do. Amen? Yes, sir. I'm so thankful for this day. I'm so thankful for what God's doing. I'm so thankful for the goodness of God that is on my life. I'm so thankful this morning that I was going to hell and now I'm going to heaven. I'm so thankful this morning that He's gave me a wife. I'm so thankful that He's gave me children. I'm so thankful He's gave me a pulpit to preach at. I'm so thankful that He's gave me a church that loves Him. And I'm so thankful that He saved my soul. Amen. Woo, glory. I want to preach this morning for a few moments. It's going to be, I don't know what we're going to do. But let me share this with you. I want to share real life. The title of the sermon is real life, just real life. I just want to give you real life in the Old Testament that's a picture of you and I today. Just real life. Who in here does real life? Man, I ain't got no, it ain't pretend around my house, amen? I mean, I do real life. I do real everyday grind life and things come my way. But today I want to look at real life and what happens when it comes your way. 2 Kings chapter number 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says, 2 Kings 5:1, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty, mighty man." This man was mighty, I'm talking about. He was a mighty man. He had plenty of money. He had plenty of land. He had plenty of everything you can think of. There ain't nothing this man didn't have. And what he didn't have, he could get it. This man had no need for nothing. This man was a man's man. This man was strong, amen? This man was a man's man. But the Bible don't stop there. The Bible says, but he was a leper. Father, I love you, I praise you, I glorify you, I thank you that when I had a spot, you washed it away. When I had a spot, you set me free. When I had a spot, you cleansed me. When I get a spot, you take care of it. I thank you for that this morning. I pray you illuminate my mind, open my mouth, let me speak forth what needs to go forth. Lord, for that one individual this morning that needs a touch of the Holy Ghost, that needs to be just baptized this morning in the Holy Spirit this morning, and they'd come forth this morning and you'd do a work in their life. Lord, I'd pray you'd sit down this morning. I'd pray you'd move this morning. I'd pray you set the captive free this morning. And Lord, whatever hindering spirits in this place, you cast it away in the name of Jesus. Father, I love you and I thank you. Guard my throat, my thoughts. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name. All of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we come, I want to talk to you for the next few moments about real life. I'm talking about real life situations. I'm talking about when there's nothing you can do about it and it just comes your way. As we look into the Bible this morning, Naaman, he had things going on that was real and he needed real results. Did you know this morning that you and I, if we be honest and we do real life, there's times we need a real touch from God. I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm not talking about none of that. I'm talking about I need the hand of God on my life. If God don't show up, I'm in deep trouble. Hey, if God don't show up, I'm in a big old mess. Hey, if God don't show up, that spot ain't going to leave. Can I get an amen this morning? Hey, I need God to show up this morning. I don't want to just go to church. I want Him to open the heavens up and pour it out on us this morning. I want Him to pour His Spirit in this place this morning. You say, preacher, what moves people to want that kind of spirit? What moves people to want that kind of influence on their life? What moves people from that is when everything is just going great and all of a sudden you realize that you've got a spot. You know what? All of a sudden he realized he had a spot. The Bible says, but he was a leper. I say to you this morning that Naaman had a real problem. Naaman, he was an honorable man, a mighty man, a wealthy man, a man of authority. And Naaman had it going on. But the Bible says that he was a leper. He had a spot that everybody could see. He had a blemish that was on him. And it come up into the skin. It come up in boils. It come up. And you know what they had to do at that time? They would have to call out that they were unclean, 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 so you wouldn't come in contact with them. And this morning, I want you to know that that spot of that leper, it come to the surface in Naaman's life. No telling how long it had been there. Can I say to you this morning that we were all born in sin? Amen. Hey, but there's none righteous, no, not one. And this morning, I want you to know that spot was coming to the surface, and that spot was going to separate him from things in his life. This morning, can I say to you, and it was going to eventually separate him from his family. That spot and that blemish was going to get him away from his family. It was going to get him away from his friends. It was going to run him out of what he knew. This morning, I ask you a question. This problem that Naaman had, and this spot that everybody would be able to see, what kind of spot are you trying to cover up this morning? Hey, you know it's on you. You know it's in you, and it's all around you. And you've been singing about the goodness of God. What's keeping you from getting that spot off of your life in the name of Jesus? Amen. Hey, I don't want no spot on my life. All I want is the blood of Jesus all over my life. Oh, I see that Naaman in verse number 1, it said, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man, but he was a leper. Real life tells me that you can have everything and still have problems. You have everything and still have problems. Your bank account can be fat. Can I get an amen? You can have everything that you... I know men right now and women that got everything and they're so miserable because they don't have the main thing. You can have everything you want, but friends, listen to me this morning. If you don't have Jesus where He needs to be in your life, you're most men miserable. You're most men miserable this morning if Jesus ain't right where He needs to be in your life. What spot have you been trying to cover? Let me go on to number 2. I want to give you this. Naaman had a real problem, but Naaman had real pride. You know what keeps your problems from being handled? It's pride. It's pride. You know the story here, and I want to say, man, I'm just so excited to be here this morning. You hear me? Just glad to be here. Just glad to be here. He took my spots. He took my old lepers. He took my old sin and everything and put it on the blood of Jesus. And it's all gone now. Thank God for that. Let me give you this morning. Naaman came here, and the Bible said that he was a leper. And he didn't know what to do or where to go. And there was a little mistress there. There was a little handmaid there. And she said, I know a man. Woo! Go ahead and thank God for the man. He said, but I know a man. And he's over there in Samaria. And I wish to God that you could get there. I wish to God that you could go to Samaria. I wish to God that you could leave Damascus. And you could go over to Samaria. And this man, if you go to where he is, he could do a difference in your life. And you know what Naaman did? He cattled up. He saddled up. He got his cattle. He got his money. He got everything he could have. He got everything you could think of. Everything in the world. He got it up and he took off to where this man was. And you know what he did when he came there to where this man was? It said that he stood at Elijah's door. And when he stood at Elijah's door, he begged for him to come out. And I want to get you this morning. Here's why he had messed up with that pride. He thought he could purchase the things of God. You cannot purchase the things of God. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl in this room. If I told you all you had to do was put $10,000 in this plate and your problem would go away, there's not a man in this room that had a kid eat up with cancer, he wouldn't go to the bank and get $50,000, mortgage his home, get rid of everything he's got to heal that problem in his life. But you know what? This morning ain't about what you can buy. It's what he's done bought on the cross of Calvary. You put your faith, hope, and trust in that Jesus Christ is going to see you through. He come to where Naaman was. I see his problem, but I see his pride. He come to this place and he thought that he could buy his healing. He thought that he could buy his help. But he also thought that he could buy the man of God. And when he came to this place, he stood at the door. And he said he wanted him to come out. And you know what the king had done did? The king had done got to the place where he rent his clothes. He didn't know what to do. That's a typical Baptist. Amen. That's a typical Baptist. So let somebody come in with a demon on them. We don't know what to do with them. Let them come in acting all crazy. We want them to go to another church. This morning, can I say to you, the God is God. Amen. And the king didn't know what to do. And he said, go to Elijah. I mean, go to Elijah. Go to where he is. And when he went to Elijah said, yeah, I know what you need to do. Just go down there to the Jordan, dip 7 times. Come up and you're going to be clean. And here's where his pride got in. Here's where his pride got in. He said, here's what you need to do. You got a problem, and here's how to fix it. Sunday in and Sunday out, I tell you about problems and how it can be fixed. And it's only through the blood of Jesus. But our pride makes us think that there's another way. Our pride makes us think that I can do it another way. I'm not like Mason. I'm not like Connor. I'm not like Kaylee. And I'm not like Brandy. It may have to work that way in their life, but I don't have to live by faith. Can I say to you this morning, the only way to please God is to live by faith. And here's what he said. The famous word in hell. Let me give it to you right here. Here's what he said. Look with me in verse 11 what he said. But Naaman was wroth. He was mad. Naaman was upset. He was wroth and he was mad. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. I thought. Do you know how many people I'm talking to this morning says, well, I thought I could. No, you can't do that. Well, I thought I can do what I. No, you can't do what you want to do. You want a healing, you got to do it his way. You want help, you got to do it his way. You want a man of God to be on your side and do what God's called to do, you're going to have to do it God's way. This morning, this church, if we're going to be blessed and God's going to move on it and we're going to see people be saved and God move in a mighty way, we got to do it his way. Amen? And here's what he said. Naaman had real pride. He said, I thought that my healing and my help was going to come by this man of God coming out and seeing me. Look what he said. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out unto me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Look at this. And recover the leper. See, you see, his pride don't even make him think he's a leper no more. His pride don't even make him think he's got it no more. His pride said, hey, I'm better than this. I'm a king. You're supposed to bow at me. I've got money. You're supposed to bow down. You know what Elijah said? He said, oh, boys, it don't work that way. It don't matter if a millionaire or a broke person walks in. We treat them all the same. With no money, no nothing, we'll challenge this. Listen to me this morning. You can't buy what God wants to give you. You can't buy it, folks. Listen to me. I promise you this morning. He said he had a problem, but his pride wouldn't get out of the way. He said, but I thought. He said, but I thought, and I wrote this down, I'll give it to you. Naaman was willing to turn back because of his pride. He was willing to go back than instead of go forward. He was willing to go on back to where he was at in the same mess with the same problem and the same pride instead of turning around and going where God wanted him to go. So how do you know that, preacher? He said, man, I just left Damascus. He said, and there's two rivers up there, Abana and Farfar. He said, they're a lot better than the Jordan. He said, have you ever seen the Jordan? The Jordan's muddy. The Jordan's nasty. Can I say to you that the Jordan pictures the blood of Jesus Christ? Blood to some folks is nasty. You ever heard of somebody see blood and they faint and pass out? Some people can't handle blood. Blood's nasty. If the blood ain't right, it can hurt you. He said, I thought that them cleaner rivers would be better for me to get at. You see, his pride done got in the way. He said, but I thought I could do it this way. I thought. And he said, oh, no, no, no. Can I say to you, he had a real problem. Man, we all got real problems, don't we? If you ain't, boy, Monday's coming. On my phone last Sunday, everybody texts, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. I ain't get a text this morning saying it was Sunday. Man, last Sunday, he's risen. Praise God, he's alive. Man, I mean, I throw my 50 to 60 texts, Brother J.D., and this morning, I didn't get none. But can I say to you, he's still alive and he's still risen. He's still on the throne. He's still high and lifted up. And I can take my problem, I can take my pride to him, and he'll take care of everything that I have in my life. He said, number one, he said he had a problem. He had pride. Man, pride will eat you alive. Did y'all know that? Pride will eat you alive. You don't know if you're a prideful person or not if you can't love your brother. Pride's going to keep you from loving your brethren. Pride will keep you from loving your brethren. But here's the thing, let me give you this. Not only did he have a problem and he had pride, but thank God he had real people that would stand in his face. Thank God he had real people that didn't care what he thought, even though he was mighty rich, all this, he didn't care. He had somebody that would stand in his face. He had somebody that would stand in his face. We can need mamas and daddies that will stand in our kids' face and not your kids stand in your face. You know what they did? Brother Harold ain't even going to go there. Whoa, glory. Whoa, he's probably one of them type too. You know what happened when I stood in my daddy's face and wanted to stand toe-to-toe with him? You didn't do that. I don't go into what he's dead, but they try to raise him from the dead and prosecute him today for what he did to me. My mama, little as she is, you didn't stand face-to-face with her. But you know what? My mom and my daddy stood face-to-face with me because they wanted me to do what was right. He might have had a problem. Brother McCullough, did you ever stand face to face with your daddy? He's going to tear you up, wouldn't he? Whether you need it or not. I'm going to slow down here because here's what's going to preach. He had a problem. He had pride, but he had real people that would stand face to face with him. If you've got all you've got in your life is yes men and yes women and they follow you to do everything, you don't got very much. You ain't got much of a base to stand on. You never once in a while, you need somebody to say, That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. This morning I got up and got in the shower. My head got to bleeding. I don't know why. This thing got to bleeding on top. It started pouring blood. Hadn't cut it. Hadn't done it. It just started bleeding. And I knew I was going to be talking about a spot. He had, you know. I said, we got any Band-Aids? Hey, we got any Band-Aids? Brandon said, all we got is crayon Band-Aids. And I said, how silly that's going to look. But everybody can see the spot. You see, what I thought was going to be silly, I don't know why it bled, but he made it bleed. No, yeah, he did. I don't know why we got crayon Band-Aids, but he does, but you can see it. If it had been skin color, you wouldn't be able to see it. This spot this leper had was not skin color, it was a disease. He had a problem. He had pride, but he had a real person that stood in his face. The Bible says there in verse 12 and 13, you look, said, and one of his servants come to him, and he said, Master, sir, he said, if this man would have told you, Brother Tony Woodham, if this man would have told you to sell your business and you and Sister Kathy be healed, that'd been something hard. Sell your piece of property you lived on forever and you're going to be healed. All you got to do is give it away. But he didn't tell you to do that. He didn't tell you to do nothing hard. And here you are, you mad, you going back. You going back the same way you come. And he said, the only thing I'm trying to tell you is this man didn't do nothing. And you know what he did, Sister Brittany? He started listening. Because somebody finally stood toe-to-toe with him and told him the truth that he thought that loved him and he did love him. He said, ain't nothing, I'm just telling you, you can't keep going this way. Your problem and your pride won't keep working, and there's people God's put in your life to tell you it won't work. He said, it won't work. He said, you want to go back to Damascus. You want to go back to them waters. And he said, all you got to do is just go right. Oh, glory. I looked up how far it is from Damascus. Listen to me. I looked up how far it is from Damascus to Samaria. It's 99 miles. Take you 7 gallons of gas to get there if you drove there. Not from here, from there. 90. Listen to me this morning. Don't let nothing distract you right now. Nothing distract you. Listen, get in right here on this. 99 miles is how far he traveled to get to where he was at, to the man of God. He done come 99 miles. He done come the whole way. He likes 1 mile from being there. He just likes this little bit, but his pride won't let him step over. His pride won't let him. You've done got up this morning. You've done come to this place. 99 miles he's done walked. He's done traveled 99 miles. He said, but I'm willing to go 99 back than to do what a man of God said. I talk to people every Sunday. You've traveled 99 miles. 99 miles you've traveled. You've done everything under the sun. But instead of humbling yourself on the mighty hand of God and let him take care of your problems and your pride. And I can preach this because I've been there. My problems and my greatest thing in my life is my pride. I won't sugarcoat it with you. And God said he hates a prideful look. But pride is one of my problems. And when I read this, man, it struck a chord in my heart. I do not want to be prideful. And I want people to be in my life that I listen to and says, your help is right there. You've done traveled 99 miles. And all that man's asking you to do is go 1 more mile. All he's asking you to do is go a little bit further. You know, there's preachers giving up. There's people in the pews giving up. They're getting out. They're not sticking with the stuff. And all he's asking you to do is go a little bit further. What if he'd have stopped shy of Calvary? We'd all be in hell. He stopped shy of Calvary, we all go to hell. He didn't stop shy of Calvary. He didn't stop shy. He went the whole way. He had problems. All the way up Golgotha's Hill, he had problems. But he did not let pride get in his way. He just kept going. Jesus just kept going. He said, you like 1 more mile. It would be 30 miles he'd have to travel, and he's done traveled 99. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You traveled the 99. You know what it's all about. But you're so close. You're so close to having that infilling, that indwelling, That Holy Ghost living inside of you, I'm talking about burning like a flame. Woo! Thank God I'm different. Can I get an amen? Thank God I'm different. He's that close. Let something go wrong in your life and you'll see where your pride is. They don't talk to me that way. That's a prideful look. They ain't doing that to me. That's pride. How you know? Because I've been there. He wore me out for it. I've had to go back and say, brother, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to act that way. Let me tell you this. Let me stop right here and give you this. He had a problem. He had pride, and he had people that would stand there and say, listen, he's done asked you to do this. Was it going to hurt? This morning, was it going to hurt you to come to this altar if the Holy Ghost is pulling on you and ask God to remove any sin from your life if you're saved? Lord God, get anything out of my life that's hindering my walk with you. What would hurt you from doing that? To any member of this church that's walking in sin, listen to me, you're hindering the whole bunch. You're hindering the whole bunch. You're hindering the whole bunch. He said, what would it hurt? What would it hurt? Not only did he have a problem and pride and people that stood with him, he said, come on, man, come on. But he received a total pardon because he listened to somebody. I said, hey, I know what it is to have a spot. I know what it is to be cleansed and be cleaned. And here's what he did. He said, and he went down to Jordan. He went down to Jordan. For you to ever go up, you got to go down. For you to ever go up, you've got to go down. For you to ever get up, you've got to eventually get down. For you to ever get where you need to be and to be cleansed of that in your life, you've got to go down. And then went he down and dipped himself. I tell you what, I'm going to dip three times. Won't work. Won't work. You got to dip in the blood of Jesus. You got to be submerged in the blood of Jesus. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times into Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. Folks calls that childish. He didn't say childish. He said he is like a little child. And he was clean. Real life happens to you and real life happens to me. And we get spotted. Ain't nothing you can do about it. You can be saved 50 years and you've been spotted in 50 years. You just get spotted up. You just can't help it. You just can't help it. Sometimes I get me a case, I just can't help it. You ever get a case of them? My mama ain't here. She called me the other day. I said, hello. She said, sound like you all mad and everything. I said, no, mama. She said, sound like you depressed. I said, no, mama. What's wrong with you? I said, mama, ain't nothing wrong with me. What you got going on? I said, mama, ain't got nothing going on. Has anybody got a mama like that in here? Raise your hand. Thank God. Because they know when something ain't right. They know. And here's what I told her. I said, you want to know what's going on? Do you really want to know? She said, I want to hear it. I said, I want to get somewhere in front of somebody, have a cussing fit, kick the sheetrock in, tear the roof down, and give Satan a cussing, and them not feel bad toward me. She said, well, you better keep your mouth shut and keep preaching. That's when you get tired of Satan on your family. That's when you get tired of Satan's old nose being stuck in everything you do, everywhere around you, and he won't leave. That's when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. But you can't do that. You know why? Because you got to pull yourself back in and say, God, vengeance is yours, you said. It's not flesh and blood. Well, I'm not battling flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. And I know right now that I'm going to have problems. I've got a pride issue that you need to take care of. I'm talking to some men this morning that's got pride in this place. I hate to tell you that, but you do because you're a man. You can't help it. You can't help it. It's all up in you. But you got people in here that loves you. And there's a pardon to be received this morning. So, preacher, what I got to do? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Don't let what's going on around you kill what's going on inside of you. You stick with the stuff and you stick it out. That man had went 99 miles, but he was willing to go back. If you went 99 and you not went all the way, you're not in. You've got to go all the way. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning that's living real life and it's eating you alive, but don't you give in. Don't you give up. You keep doing what that book says. You keep persevering. You keep pushing on. You keep letting God use you. Let Him mold you. Let Him make you. And when that time comes in your life that you want to have a blow apart fit, just keep your mouth shut and say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for allowing me just to preach your word. Lord, Naaman, he had a problem. When you gave him the answer, he let pride interfere. But Father, I thank you that somebody stood face to face with him and told him, said, this ain't a hard thing. It really ain't. And Father, this morning I pray under the sound of my voice that I'm telling somebody, being saved is not a hard thing. We always sometimes talk about how hard it was, but if the Holy Ghost is tugging that hard, it's not a hard thing to step out and come to this altar, to come to Jesus. If it's a backslidden Christian this morning, getting back right with God is not a hard thing. Just get your pride out of the way and get to where you need to be. Father, I have to do that all the time in my life. And Lord, when I come to that place where you're at, there is complete pardon, complete forgiveness, complete cleansing, complete healing of the mind, soul, body, and spirit. Whoever I'm talking to this morning, their mind is a war field, a battlefield, let them get in this altar and get that mess off them. Father, whoever's spirit that is struggling, let them get in this altar and get it right. Lord God, I pray this morning that your will be done. Lord, help my unbelief this morning. I'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the holy, precious name of Jesus, we ask and pray. And all of God's people said, I ask you to stand.